Flat on my back, I fidgeted with the string on my hospital gown as I stared at the ceiling in the radiology center. Despite my best effort, my legs shook, rattling the table. Breathe. My heart stalled when the lights flicked off, plunging the room into darkness. The radiologist's voice crackled over the speaker. We're about ready to begin. Are you comfortable? Comfortable? I couldn't count the number of MRIs I'd had in the last 5.5 years, but each one was worse than the last, and I was never comfortable. Fine, I choked out. Shocked by this sudden jolt, my pulse rate kicked up as the table slid into the tube. Once inside the cylinder, I shrank from my distorted reflection on the metal ceiling. It looked like me, long dark hair piled on my head, heart-shaped face, nose a little too narrow. But something was off. There was no life in my eyes, no spark in the amber hue. Before I fully adjusted, the machine whirred to life. The clank, clank, clank echoing in my head like cannon fire. Tori, try to keep still, came the voice again. Just relax and don't fight the anxiety medication. We don't want to have to do this again. If I closed my eyes, it would be worse. But the sedative was already taking effect, and my lids were so heavy. And then I smelled the rain, felt it slick and warm on my skin. Or was that blood? Gravel bit into my cheek, and somewhere in the distance, Ren called to me. Belle. But I couldn't lift my head. I tried now, like I'd tried then. Nothing. Belle. Drawn to the panic in his tone, I gave in and let myself slip beneath the veil of unconsciousness. And there, beyond the darkness, the worst night of my life waited to sweep me away. Shouldn't she be awake by now? Taryn asked as I tried to pry my eyes open. What did you give her anyway? My best friend was a pit bull when she was angry, or scared. Right now she was both. Because the doctor had prescribed a sedative to get me through the MRI, I'd asked Taryn to drive me to my appointment. But as I was coming out of my drug-induced haze, I knew that was a mistake. It was bad enough that I had to relive the trauma of that night, but I hadn't thought about Taryn. Stupid. Though my eyes weren't cooperating, I fought to push a few words out, but my mouth wasn't on board with a plan. The nurse was in the middle of explaining when the door whooshed open. Dr. Andrews's soothing voice floated to my ears. Taryn. His tone was serene, and I imagined him rubbing her arm the way I'd seen him do so many times after the accident. Tori's fine. I prescribed Halcyon, which is a relatively strong sedative, and
why?
Taryn's voice trembled despite the authoritative tone.
Why did you give her something that strong? She hasn't moved. It looks like she's in a...
She let out a staggered breath, but I knew the word on the tip of her tongue. For 2 weeks after the bus crash that nearly ended my life, I'd lingered in a coma. And during that time, Taryn had never left my side. Hers was the first face I saw when I woke up. And she was the one who had to tell me that Ren was gone, and Paige. A heavy weight descended, pushing in on me from all sides, and a little whimper scraped my throat. That was the drugs. Over the past 5.5 years, I'd learned to control my emotions, my tears, the ache that had never truly gone away. A hint of lavender and Taryn's warm hand on my cheek. Tori? When I didn't respond, she said firmly, It's time to wake up now, Belle. If she knew how much it hurt to hear her call me that name when she stopped, I thought groggily, but I'd never asked. With some effort, my lids fluttered open. Hey. Taryn loomed over me, eyes wide and fearful. There you are. It's about time you woke up. Over the forced humor, relief suffused her tone.